If you want to pull it down there, and I'll step down.
Amen. And I am thankful that God has put doctors in our lives to help us, because they have done a lot of good things for so many people, including myself. But I know someone who has done something even greater than any. And his name is Jesus. Amen? Amen. This morning I want to talk with you again out of the Old Testament. We'll be in Proverbs this morning. Proverbs chapter 4, if you will, please stand with me in honor of God's Word. Proverbs chapter 4, verse 23. Keep your heart with all diligence, for out of it springs the issues of life. Father, we thank you so much that even though you can see our heart, you still love us. Lord, you still care for us and provide for us. Lord, you still help us and teach us and walk with us every day. Father, help us to see our own hearts and the issues within, and help us to clean this house that is our heart so that it is a place that you are comfortable in and welcomed in, and represents you before all that see us. Father, help us to be your people, and to glorify you, and to love you as you have so graciously loved us. And we ask this to your glory, in Jesus' name, amen. Amen. Be seated, please. How many of you thought I'd be speaking to you about the heart today? Well, we're always talking about the heart and the condition of our lives and the needs of our soul, the forgiveness of sins and finding that in Christ. But, you know, in Scripture we find so many words of wisdom that point to our heart as being an issue for us as people. And here is just another example of what the Bible has to say. It says that we should keep our heart with all diligence. We should struggle with it if we need to. We need to fight against it at times if we need to. We need to be in control of our heart, not let it control us. Because if we let it control us, out of it will spring the issues of life. Now, I know a lot of us, we trust our hearts, don't we? We get into situations, we make decisions because we trust our heart. But I'm asking you this today, is our heart really trustworthy? Because what is really within our heart that is prompting our decisions, that is guiding us to take a step that we are about to take in life? We should keep our hearts with all diligence, because out of it, the issues of life can spring forth, which causes me to ask you another question, and that is, can we control the problems in our life by controlling our heart? Just by controlling our heart. How many of us could say, honestly, that if we had just controlled our own heart when it came time to do so, some of the issues we had in life wouldn't have been an issue in life? Because we didn't control our heart, we didn't sit down and have a good heart-to-heart talk with it, it won out and we had to face an issue in life. Trusting our heart. When we say, I trust my heart, let me tell you what the word trust means. It means that we are confident of whatever it is in our heart that is guiding us. We are confident in that guidance. We rely upon that guidance. We know it to be true. And so we trust it. But so many times, we should have been more careful. There will be times still before us when we will need to be careful. And that's what I want to talk to you about this morning. Can you trust your heart? Well, can you trust what's in your heart? That's the real question. And what we need to do is we need to make sure that our heart is filled with that which is good. And let me tell you where you begin. You begin with God. And you make sure God is in your heart. Because if it's the world that is in your heart, issues in life will spring forth. If it's God in your life, guess what? Issues in life will still spring forth because God and the world are not at peace with each other. But it's a decision on whose side you're going to take. Are you going to take the side of God or are you going to take the side of the world? I say we begin with God, and we begin in Psalms 37. It says, trust in the Lord and do good. I'm not trusting my heart. I'm trusting in the Lord. But if I have placed Him in my heart, then I know where to find Him. And I know that there is something within my heart that can help guide me in the right way. Trust in the Lord and do good. Dwell in the land and feed on His faithfulness. If He is in my heart and I am making my decisions in life based on the presence of God and His Spirit to guide me, to lead me, to teach me, then I know I can take a step in life and have assurance, if I'm trusting God, that I'm doing what God wants me to do. And even then, if I face trouble or trial, tribulation in life, God is with me. Because I already know He has sent us out as sheep among wolves. So we don't expect life to be easy. But God doesn't expect us to complicate life because we trust the wrong things in our heart. And if we're trusting the wrong things, boy, it makes it easy for the world to just really get in and complicate our life. So I'm pleading with you this morning, if you have worldly issues that are complicating your life, stop and look at it and say, God, help me here. Because we want to begin with God. We want to trust in the Lord and do good. We want to dwell in the land and live on His faithfulness to us and our trust in Him. And He will be good. And He will provide. And He will get us through whatever is about to happen. You know, we think about the disciples in the storm in the middle of the night. How many of you remember when they got in the boat? They got in the boat because Jesus said, let's go to the other side. They got in the boat and then a big old storm came and they began to cry and scream. He's going to let us die. Jesus was asleep in the back, by the way. You remember? You ever feel like Jesus is asleep in life on you? Lord, it's time to wake up. You remember what He did, though? He got up and said, oh, ye of little faith. Ye of little faith. And to the winds and to the waves, He said, be still. And they were. And it's because He said, from the very beginning of that journey, let's go to the other side. And it's the same in life. When we face trial and tribulation in this life, if you're walking with Christ, He's already said, come, let's go. I've prepared a place for you so that where I am, you may also be. So don't get in the middle of life and start crying about God not being there or being asleep at the wheel if you want to think of it that way. God's not asleep. Sometimes God wants us to show how much we do trust and how far we're willing to go in our trust and in our faith. How would you feel if God said to you, take your child, your only child, and sacrifice him for me? How many of us would do what Abraham did and pack everything up and start heading to the altar? God will never ask us to do this, and I want to remind you that God didn't allow Abraham to take the life of his son either, because it wasn't time for a sacrifice, and Abraham's son wasn't going to be the sacrifice to suffice anyway. It's going to take a lamb. It wasn't time for the lamb. But we live in the age of grace because of the lamb today, don't we? You know that God didn't expect anything from Abraham that he wasn't already willing to give of himself when he asked him to take his son? How many of us get into the middle of our life and there's a storm and we think God's asking too much of us? God, you're asking too much. Is he asking more than he's already asked of himself through his son? We've got to learn how to be strong in our faith and walk in our faith, trust in God and do good, and know that there are wolves all around. That the winds are going to blow and the waves are going to come crashing in at times. But my boat will not sink because I'm on it with Jesus. And my life, even if it ends here, what is the problem? Because I'm taking a step into eternity with Christ. Isn't that better? Isn't that something that I'm living for now anyway, to be with Christ in heaven? Trust in God and know that whatever comes, He's with you. Begin by controlling your heart and trusting in God because He's there to guide you. Okay? Begin with that, knowing that you can trust Him. The second thing I would tell you is be mindful that if you don't have God in your heart, then the heart's going to have all kinds of other things in there, roaming around, waiting on opportunity. Jesus talks about that in Matthew. How many of you know what He said in Matthew? Every one of us in here, myself included, have a heart issue if we don't have God in the heart. We all of us have a heart issue. And Jesus tells us just how serious that issue is. Listen to the words. He says, from within, out of the heart of men proceed evil thoughts, adulteries, fornications, murders, thefts, covetousness, wickedness, deceit, lewdness, an evil eye, blasphemy, pride, foolishness. All these evil things come from within and defile a man. How many of us got excluded in that list? I don't think any of us were excluded in that list. Because there's none of us who are righteous. No, not one. And we all depend on God to help us and to cleanse us and to strengthen us in each and every day. So if we're not filling our heart with God, we are not getting rid of all of these other things that are already there. And will defile us. Do you remember what the proverb said? Keep your heart with all diligence, for out of it springs the issues of life. How many of you want to deal with those kind of issues that come out of the heart from the decisions that we make? Hatred, murder, fornications. I mean, how awful can life become when we give ourselves over to the world with an unbridled heart? We become exactly what Satan wants us to be. But you try to bridle it and see what kind of fight you have. It's not easy. It's not easy. But it's a fight worth fighting. It's worth trusting in Christ. It's worth finding that place where peace is all around in the presence of God because Jesus is with us. It is worth finding forgiveness of sins and having that hope and that joy. It's worth knowing that when I have that, I'm still going to face the ravenous wolves. I'm still going to face the ugliness of the world. But I do not fear because God has not put within me a spirit of fear and timidity, but of truth and of strength. And when you walk in faith, you're not blindsided. It's not a blind faith that we walk in. We know full well what's out there. But we know who is greater than those. greater is he that is within me than he that is within the world. I'm not blind when I walk in faith. I know full well what's out there. I know full well what to expect when I'm walking through life every day. I know what to expect if I don't do the things I should do. And it's no one's fault but my own. And I have to answer for it. I know. And I have found that trusting in God and keeping Him in my heart and place keeps me from doing some things that I would have done without even giving it a second thought, and had issues and concerns just springing up all around because of it. God wants us to get past that. He wants us to walk in peace with Him. He wants us to be a reflection of Him. In Luke, you find this: a good man out of the good treasure of his heart brings forth good, and an evil man out of the evil treasure in his heart brings forth evil. For out of the abundance of the heart his mouth will speak. It's not even just what we do, it's how we talk to people. It's how we look at people. It's how we live in their presence and around them. And can I say this? We all could do a better job of loving people, couldn't we? We could all do a better job of loving God, because we got to begin with God. Love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your strength, with all your soul, mind. And then love your neighbor. If just loving your neighbor is good enough, then God would have said, just love your neighbor. But you got to love God first to understand how to love your neighbor. Standing in His presence on the day of judgment and saying, well, I was a good man, I loved my neighbor, that is not going to replace Jesus Christ in your life. You've got to stand there with Christ and say, I have loved my neighbor because you have loved me first and taught me how to love my neighbor. We cannot replace Christ. He must be in our heart. We can't trust our heart if He's not there, because it is filled with all of this evilness. And we can't make up new ways to replace Christ and find salvation. There is no other way, because there is no other name given under heaven by which we must be saved than that of Jesus Christ. Now let me give you a couple of examples of what I'm trying to talk to you about. The kinds of things that Scripture gives us examples of when people followed their heart and not the will of God that should have been flowing through their heart. How many of you remember Cain? Cain and Abel, they made a sacrifice, and Abel's was acceptable and Cain's was not. We've talked about this. Isn't it funny that Cain went to God and made a sacrifice out of fruit? The very thing that brought sin into the life of mankind to begin with. Don't eat that fruit. We call it an apple. Whatever it might have been, it was fruit. Don't eat that fruit or you'll die. And we ate it anyway. And then Cain comes back and says, here, I'm making an offering of fruit. You know, what must that have looked like in the eyes of God? You want to come into my presence and offer me the very thing as a sacrifice that has caused our problem to begin with? You're going to say to me, accept me for who I am, because this is who I am. Take me or leave me. People want to do that. God had a talk with Cain. And He told him, you need to rule over your heart, over your desires. Sin is at the door, and its desire is you. He was saying to Cain, it wants to own you. It wants to control you. But you should rule over it, same way we should rule over our heart. And so Cain went and killed his brother. Sounds like he was listening to God pretty good, huh? How about Judas? Who had the honor of walking in the presence of Jesus himself and seeing the wonders and the miracles and the love. But he had an idea in his heart that Israel was supposed to be glorified in a way that Jesus was not walking. You know, the Jews expected that the Messiah would come and establish Israel as a kingdom. And all those Gentile folks, bye. We're done with you. Jesus was teaching people to love their neighbor, to love the Samaritans, which the Jews hate. Jesus was teaching them the love and showing them a path that God was beginning to teach was the path that we were going to have to walk, and that the glory of God's kingdom was coming, but it was a gospel of love in a way that Judas and so many other of the Jewish people did not want, did not expect, did not want. And so Judas, following his own heart, said, well, maybe if I can't get him to do it by asking, I'll force his hand and we'll get this going the way it needs to go. Without even contemplating the issues that would arise from his actions, he betrayed Jesus for 30 pieces of silver. He said to those in charge, I will lead you to him. 30 pieces of silver. If he won't bring his glory, then I'll just buy my own glory. Do you know that both Cain following his heart and Judas following their heart both caused the spilling of blood? And how many times when we follow our own hearts and it's in the ways of the world, we might not bring somebody's blood to bear on the ground, but we inflict some kind of pain, some kind of harm, some kind of unforgiveness in their heart because we wanted it our way. Cain and Judas, to fulfill the lust of their own heart, to fulfill the lust of their own heart, and to fulfill their ideas of what righteousness and glory should be, caused the spilling of blood, innocent blood. They couldn't replace their heart with the will of God. How much better would it have been for those two if they had just replaced their heart instead of trying to make themselves the standard? How much better would their life have been? How much better would the lives of others around them, how much better would it have been? Because they could not keep their hearts with all diligence. And how many of us today are having a hard time keeping our heart with all diligence? How many of us have Christ within our heart that is guiding us and showing us that even if it looks like it might hurt, we still might need to take that step with Him in faith? How many of us have found peace with God through His counsel and have made room for Him in our heart? We've begun to take those brooms and to sweep all that other junk out of there. You know, how many of you have ever swept the floor and you hit a pile of dirt so hard that the broom just kind of skipped over and it didn't want to move that pile? You ever done that? You ever kick it like that? Y'all see that? You ever kick dirt like that, try to get it up? Then all you got is a dust cloud. It's just spread further back out, right? What you need is a shot back. What you need is the Holy Spirit to come in and to push and to clean. What you need is forgiveness. What you need is Jesus if you want forgiveness. And once you have that, you can find room for God in your heart. You can. And as you grow, you can find there's even more room to give Him as you begin to push yourself out of the way so that you can be what God wants you to be, so that you can love like God wants you to love. And that's what I'm asking you today. Can you love like God wants you to? Can you trust your heart to lead you that way? Because it's filled with the love of Christ. If you don't know Jesus as Lord and Savior, we're here today. Right now, we can get that done. We can get it taken care of. All you have to do is ask for Him to love you and to forgive you and to renew you, to make you a new creature in Him, so that that hope begins to pour in and to flow out to those around you. So I'm asking you today, do you know Jesus as Lord and Savior? If you don't, will you come and make that profession, seek that forgiveness? If you do, will you praise Him in the time that He still has before you? You can come to the altar to praise Him. Either way, to find Him or to praise Him, we'll celebrate with you. Will you come while there's time? Father, I thank You so much again for this day. I thank You for the grace and the mercy upon our life. Father, I thank You that You are so great a friend that You would point to us and show us where our biggest faults lie and the chest that we keep them in, safe and secure. Father, help us to open that chest and to empty it of everything but You and Your will and Your desires. Help us, Lord, to love You as You have loved us. And I pray, Father, if there is one that has not found peace through the forgiveness of sin, strengthen them in that time today. And I ask these things, Lord, to Your glory, in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. The altar is open. Will you come? Amen.